Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
With us to New York. When we went, it's been a few years now because, amen, I feel it in my bones. But when we went the last time, we flew into Buffalo, which is where we will be worshiping in Buffalo, but we had some vans and we drove from Buffalo to New York City. We had hotel rooms in Buffalo and New York City, and we drove 8 hours, Sister Bell, from Buffalo. We can't do that now, y'all. We can't do that now. So we're looking at, instead of going into New York City, we're gonna go to Toronto, Canada. And so you will need a passport. But again, we will talk about that more later. And hopefully many of you will accompany us to Buffalo. Amen. That's the fourth Sunday in August. Amen. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. My friend, Pastor French, there in Buffalo, he's crazy, I tell you, he's crazy. I was sitting there thinking about, as I was talking about diabetes, one time we were out in Sacramento, and this is a tasteless joke, and I probably shouldn't even tell it. It's really not a joke, this is real, this is something he did, and just to show you how bad he is, but one of our friends, Nedra, she has a brother, that's a little, kind of feminine, you know. And he had taken sick, and Nedra, Pastor French, asked Nedra, "What's wrong with your brother?" And she said, "He's got sugar." He said, "Well, I know that, but what's wrong with it?" I told y'all it was tasteless. I told y'all that was just awful. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 12. Pray for your pastor. Verses 13 through 17. Well, Joel Osteen tells jokes before he preaches. Acts chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak from the subject, setback to comeback. Setback to come back. Thank you, ushers. Acts chapter 12 paints for us a powerful picture of how God operated in the first century church. James, the brother of John, has been killed, and after King Herod discovered that by killing James, his opinion polls increased. He decided that since that happened by killing James, that he would in turn go on and kill Peter as well. And so you Bible readers remember how Peter was arrested, he was arraigned, he was put in prison, sentenced, and set on death row. The Bible says that he had 16 guards surrounding him. He had chains on his wrist, and then he was locked in a cell. Locked in a cell, chains on his wrist, 16 guards encircling him while sitting on death row. And yet, in spite of these setbacks, God sends an angel to escort Brother Peter to help him turn a setback into a comeback. So what's the point of it all? Why all of these setbacks? We're talking about Peter, but all of us in here can admit that in our lives we've had some setbacks. And if you haven't had any yet, just keep on living, because life has a funny way, amen, of turning sometimes the most unlikely situations into a setback. Why do we have to deal with the reality of setback after setback? Why do we have to keep going through it? If God is as powerful as we know him to be, since God is so great, since God is so mighty, since God is so awesome, then why do we have to keep dealing with all of these setbacks? I mean, after all, he's mighty, he's great, he's awesome. Why doesn't God just set us up and let us live the golden life? A life void of pitfalls, a life void of challenges, a life void of circumstances that are beyond our control. Why doesn't God just let us live life happily ever after? Since he's God, I hear you, I hear you. Amen. Since he has all control, he has all authority, he has all ability, he even has all autonomy, which means that he's self-governed. Y'all know what that means, don't you? We call it providence. We call it sovereignty. It simply means that God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. Since he's the sovereign God of the universe, what is the point of making us go through all of these setbacks? Why do we have to continually go through setbacks? Why not just set us up to stay in the right place in the first place? That way we never have to come back from a setback. Well, I've come by to tell you something that perhaps you've already figured out, and that is that God doesn't operate like that. Do I have a witness today? What we discover is that God does things for his own purposes, for his own desires, and according to his own design. And Acts chapter 12 helps us to understand and see more fully the work of the Lord in our lives through the life of the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter has been used mightily by the Lord since the day of Pentecost over in Acts chapter 2. Since the day of Pentecost, Peter has been powerfully proclaiming the gospel message, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he had a setback. And he also had a major comeback. Now, the first thing I want you to examine very briefly, I want you to notice that, amen, this comeback that he has happens at the hands of angelic participation. See, I know a lot of you don't believe that there are angels, but I'm just foolish enough to believe that if God says it, I believe it. Amen. And you know, we like to say that saying, God said it, amen. I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I heard Sister Dutch say God said it, and that settles it whether I believe it or not. Because if it's in the Word, if it's in the Bible, do I have any witnesses here today who have confidence in what God has spoken? Is there anybody here who has confidence in what the Lord has said? And so if the Bible says that God sent a ministering, delivering angel to rescue Peter out of his predicament, I want to believe, I do believe that there are some angels in my life. That's why the Bible says, amen, be careful how you entertain strangers over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That lady that cut you off on the road It may have been an angel saving you from an accident. You done cussed them and put fingers in their face and all of that. Be careful how you entertain strangers, because they might be angels. Anybody other than me believe that God has ministering angels? Oh my, I've heard these stories about people who were in dire situations and somebody showed up and just seemed to disappear off the scene. Don't know where they went to. Amen. It tells me that there are angels that the Lord uses to help us. And so we can all testify that the comebacks we've had in our life has been to a certain degree because of angelic participation. But that's not the only reason Peter made a comeback. The second reason we discover that Peter makes a comeback is because of answered prayer. The fifth verse of Acts chapter 12 says that while Peter was in prison, the church was at the house praying for him. Is there anybody here today who understands that you've had success in your life not because you were so smart, not because you knew the right people, not because you were at the right place at the right time, but much of our success, let me testify for myself, much of my success has been because somebody prayed for me. Well, I don't know if you prayed for me or not, but I know my mama prayed for me. I know my daddy. Is there anybody here who had a praying mother or praying father, a praying grandmother, a praying grandfather? You can thank God today that no matter what setbacks the devil places in your way, God is able to give you an awesome comeback through the help of angels and because of the power of prayer. Somebody said prayer changes things. Oh my, if you don't know about prayer, you better learn how to get in a phone call to the Lord. Do I have a witness here? Amen. Thank God you can call the governor and you can call the mayor and you got a good lawyer on retainer and all of that. But I'm here to tell you that there are some hands that life will deal you, that no doctor can help you, no lawyer can help you, your low-down friends won't help you. But thanks be to God, if I can just dial up one for the Father and one for the Son and one for, if I can just get a little talk with Jesus, he will make it all right. But the real thing that I want to focus on today is this third thing, that he makes a powerful comeback, not only because of angelic participation, not only because of answered prayer, but here it is. He makes an awesome comeback because of God's abiding purpose. Truth of the matter is that God has a purpose and plan in his mind for each one of us. We don't always fathom it, can't always comprehend it, can't always discern it. But is there anybody here who knows that God has a purpose for your life? I don't believe in coincidence. Amen. I don't believe in God haphazardly doing anything. If you're here, you're here for purpose. If you're here, you're here with the purpose. Now, you may not know what your purpose is, but I've come by to tell you today that you can make it through your setbacks because of God's abiding purpose. One of my favorite scriptures, God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a future hope and an expected end. That tells me that no matter what folks say, that tells me that no matter what folk think, amen, God is saying, I'm working the plan and I'm planning the work to give you a successful future. And young people, I want you to hear me today. You better make sure that you understand God's abiding purpose for your life. See, your parents, they can try to guide you based upon the way they went. But ultimately, if you're going to succeed in this life, you need to tap into God's purpose for your life. Do I have a witness today? Now, one of the things about understanding God's purpose for your life, you have to understand that God doesn't always reveal his purpose to you all at once. He does what is called progressive revelation. Y'all, if God gave it to you all at once, if he showed you, amen, your life purpose in total, everything at one time, do you know you couldn't hardly handle it? No, you couldn't handle it. If God told us
everything that was going to happen. We couldn't stand it. We try to circumvent it. We try to get around it, find our own route. So God doesn't give us everything at one time. He orders our steps, and he does it through progressive revelation. That's what happens when God reveals his plans and purposes to us. Look. That's what's happening in Acts chapter 12. As we look at the conclusion of this saga and story, we see that God is revealing progressively. Two verses jump out at me. In verse 11, the Bible says for Philip that when Peter got out of prison, he walked a block, and the Bible says that Peter came to himself. He began to understand. And when he came to himself, he said, "Now I know that the Lord sent an angel to come and rescue me from the hand of Herod and from the expectations of the Jews. Now I understand it. I didn't understand it when I was sitting in prison." Somebody's going to identify with this. "I didn't understand it when I was going through it. I didn't understand it while I was on death row, but now I know." It's like what psychologists call an aha revelation. That aha moment. You see, amen, when that light bulb comes on in your head and you say, "Oh, now I understand. Now it makes sense. Now I understand why I had to go through what I had to go through." That's what happens in verse 11. The Bible says in verse 12 that when this dawned on him, when he finally came to this conclusion, the understanding of what had happened to him, that he had to do something. Stay with me. When he got the revelation, when he understood why God did what he did, the record is that he had to do something. And that's what happens when you stay in communion with God. That's what happens when you walk closely with God. God will reveal some things to you. You didn't understand when you were, amen, going through chemotherapy, why you had to deal with that. You didn't understand, amen, when you had to go through the heart surgery, why you had to. You didn't understand when your children were acting crazy and getting in trouble and why they were, you, as a matter of fact, you took it personally. Why is this happening to me? But is there anybody here through progressive revelation, God has helped you to see that he had a greater plan in mind? And when you understand that God was working all of the time through the heartache, through the pain, through the sickness, through the trouble, amen, you need to do like Peter. You need to do something. There's something you need to do. What does he do? He says, "I need to go back to the house where they're praying for me." Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. You see what God does with Peter, he makes him a living presentation. A living presentation. God, my brothers and sisters, wants to reveal you. He wants to reveal me. He wants to reveal us as a living presentation. That's what the Lord does with Peter. Peter was kept in prison on death row to be executed. Watch this, in the morning. It was night. He was to be executed in the morning. Chains on his wrist. 16 soldiers guarding him. His death seemed imminent. But the Bible says that although there were soldiers surrounding him, chains on his wrist, sentenced to death row, before calamity could come, God sent an angel to rescue him. Now, when you read that, when you read it, and I hope you read all of that, you discover, amen, that the angel tells Peter to get up. The angel tells Brother Peter to get up. He's got chains on his wrist. He's got, amen, chains on his ankles, and he's surrounded by guards, but yet the angel says, "Get up." Now, Brother Peter could have said, "I'll get up when you take these chains off. I'll get up when you, amen, get rid of these guards. Then I'll get up, amen." But my brothers and sisters, when the Lord says move, you better learn how to move. Do I have any witnesses here today? Your deliverance is in your obedience to God. Is there anybody that found out that when you do what God says, Amen. Even though it doesn't look like it can happen, but you understand that God has the power to do whatever he says.
So the angel says, man, get up. And when he gets up, the chains fall off. When he gets up, and I love this. Amen. He doesn't go out the back door. The angel doesn't lead him out of a side door. The angel doesn't lead him out of some window in a corner. But the Bible says that the angel escorts him out of the front door. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you sitting here worried about your enemies and you worried about your haters and you worried about what folk are saying about you and the folk that don't like you. Baby, if you put your trust in God, the Bible says that he will lay out a table before you in the presence, or he'll take you out the front door. Well, the same folk that have been lying on you and talking about you will have to stand there and say, look what God has done. So God sent an angel who helped him walk out of the front door of the prison. He got a block away and then understood what God was doing in his life. It dawned on him that I cannot keep this to myself. He had experienced a miraculous deliverance from God. But the only problem is no one knew about the deliverance but him. I'm talking to somebody. See, we allow the Lord to deliver us out of stuff, and then we want to keep it a secret. Y'all know we get shame. You know, we don't want nobody to know that we used to be hooked on crack, and we don't want nobody to know that we used to be an alcoholic, and we don't want nobody to know that we used to be this or we used to be that. But this lesson ought to teach us that when God performs a miraculous deliverance in your life, like Peter, you ought to make up in your mind, I can't keep this thing to myself. So he had this great miraculous deliverance. An angel was dispatched. Chains fell off his wrist. 16 plus soldiers couldn't keep him in prison. He walked right out of the front door, off of death row. It was a fantastic deliverance, but no one else knew about it. And I do have some folk here who can testify that in your own life situation, there was only one witness. And that witness was you. You were the star witness. And so the Bible says that it dawned on him that he needed to make his way to Mary's house, because there the saints were praying for him. So look at what he does. He walks to Mary's house, not just so he could join the prayer meeting. But y'all, he went to Mary's house to present himself to them, to show them that what they'd been praying for, they were now looking at. Y'all gonna catch that when you get home. And would you believe that every now and then God gives you a comeback so that you can show up in the lives of those who've been praying for you? To show those who care about you that God truly does answer prayer? I'm looking at some people in here today who are living, breathing, walking, talking testimonies that God knows how to bring you back from a rut, that God knows how to bring you back from a challenged position. And when he brings you back, you can't just go home and sit down somewhere. When God brings you back, you can't just keep your mouth closed about what he's done. When God brings you back, you can't go hide in a closet somewhere. You've got to show up where folk have been praying for you. And when you show up, tell them that the prayers that you've been praying have been answered. God answered what you've been calling on him about. And I'm a testimony that trouble don't last always. When I look at Kitty back there, in spite of how it looked, in spite of what the doctor said, he's a testimony. He's a living presentation that trouble don't last. That So Peter shows up. He shows up at the house while they're praying in order to present himself. My brothers and sisters, don't ever keep your testimony to yourself. Don't ever keep your light
under a bushel. Don't ever keep your mouth closed about the goodness of God. Don't ever keep your blessings to yourself. This text is tailored to teach us that Peter presents himself as a living testimony of what God has done in his situation. When he shows up, and I'm almost through, Peter, the Bible says, starts knocking at the door. And when he does, a little servant girl by the name of Rhoda shows up at the door. When there was knocking on the door, this little girl made her way to the door. And the Bible says that when she heard Peter's voice, the Bible says that she got so excited that she didn't even open the door for Peter. She heard his voice. And she got so excited because she knew that her parents and other folk were in the other part of the house praying for Peter's deliverance. And when Rhoda heard Peter's voice at the door, the Bible says she got so excited she didn't even open the door for Pastor Peter. She left him standing there so she could run and tell her parents that what you've been praying for is at the door. And the Bible says that they said, baby, you done lost your mind. You've got to be crazy because Peter is in jail if he ain't already dead. You just seeing a ghost of Peter. Amen. But when they finally get to the door, they are so astonished, they're so shocked, they're so amazed that God has answered their prayers that they keep on shouting and hollering. And I repeat again that whenever God delivers you, you can't just sit around with your arms folded and your legs crossed. I said when God delivers you, there ought to be some celebration. There ought to be some adulation. There ought to be somebody with a smile on their face, with clapping in your hands. Is there anybody here who can thank God for showing up when you pray? Is there anybody who can thank God for moving when you pray? Is there anybody who can thank God for delivering when you pray? Is there anybody who can thank God for answering when you pray? Tell that neighbor, he may not come when you want, but he's always, I said he's always, I said he's always right on time. Why don't you high five somebody and tell him he made a way just for me? And I gotta tell him thank you. I gotta tell him thank you. They got so excited. Sit down, sit down. That the Bible says Peter had to calm them down. Peter had to shush them. I know y'all can't see it, but you don't really know the half of it. What Peter was saying in essence is, you see my glory, but you don't know my story. See, Peter came with the testimony. He said, I'm glad y'all are shouting because I'm out, but y'all need to hear how I got out.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.